The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is live. We're an hour away from John Calipari, and Mike Griffith will join us shortly. How about Jeremy is up next? Hey, Jeremy, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, I just want to respond to the Steven guy from Georgia talking about how Florida hasn't played nobody. We beat Georgia. I think they were a top five ranked team. That's pretty good to me. It just shows the lack of development Kirby Smart does for the University of Georgia.
Yeah, listen, I frankly thought the Georgia win was fairly significant. But again, we're talking about varying opinions. And I think you're right about that. Adam is up next. Adam, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Big fan of the show. I was listening to Steven from Georgia, and it kind of made me laugh because I lost my dad 2 days ago, Paul, and him and my mom are big Georgia fans. I'm a Gator fan. And it took me back to, like, I think it was 2002. It was Zook's first year, and we'd watch the Florida-Georgia games, you know, when we weren't working or family was able to be around, and I remember him giving me crap about Grossman throwing a pick, and I just thought it was funny because it reminded me of that commercial also on the SEC where we're family and we fight, you know, back and forth because that's what family do, but when it comes down to it, all these SEC teams support one another, regardless of the rivalry. You know, my son's a Gator fan. I've raised him that way. He's 14. And he picked out my dad's tie, which was a Georgia Bulldog tag, to be tied to be buried in. And it reminded me of that, and I thought it was something, you know, I wanted to put on the air.
Adam,
you know,
first of all,
grieving, Paul, but when I would get off work and go to my mom and dad, there was only two things on if there wasn't a football game, and that was NCIS and the Paul Feinbaum Show. So I just want you to know, he was a big fan of yours.
Adam, I can't tell you how sorry I am to hear that, and I also can't thank you enough for sharing that story. I can only imagine your relationship, and we really appreciate your kind words, and we're all thinking of you, and thank you very much for saying that.
I appreciate it, Paul. And my question that I have that I wanted to ask you about, I hear, you know, Florida's got to beat Bama, which we know, to get to the national championship. But talking about the Heisman, if we go back to Rex Grossman, I truly believe Rex Grossman was screwed out of that Heisman the year Eric Crouch won it. Trask keeps putting up these numbers, and we put a good showing Bama and lose close. Do you think he is out of the Heisman chances, or do you still think there's a chance? And before I hang up, Paul, if you could do me one thing, my mom, Anna, she's another big fan of yours. If you could just tell her go Dogs or something, I'd really appreciate it. It'd lift up her spirits. She loves Kirby Smart, but she loved Mark Richt too, and to all the Georgia fans, you know, my dad loved the Bulldogs. He loved going down there watching the dog walk, all that stuff. You know, I'll talk trash with the best of them. But when Georgia plays Florida State or anybody in the SEC, I cheer for the SEC. I thank you for the prayers, Paul, and love your show, and hope to talk to you soon.
Adam, thank you again. And to Anna, your mom, we are all thinking of you, and in honor of your husband, go Dogs, and stay well. We really appreciate that call, and it's a tough situation, but we hope many prayers and blessings will come your way. Thank you very, very much for that. Let's go to the calls and continue. And Brendan is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Brendan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, it's time to call it how you see it and piss somebody off. Now, what about this Indiana Ohio State right quick? How do you feel about that?
Wow, I mean, we're talking about the biggest game in the country this week, Brendan. Who would have ever thought Indiana?
No.
Indiana and Ohio State. Then you got Northwestern.
Indiana or Ohio State? What do you got?
I got Ohio State. I can't. As impressive as I am with Indiana, okay, I'm not going against the Buckeyes.
What about that Clemson? Clemson and Florida State? People forgot about Florida State. You give them a chance against Clemson.
I wouldn't give Florida State a chance against a high school right now.
I'm satisfied there, too. It's pitiful down there. Breakdown of, well, who is it? Not Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt can't beat with Florida. We got that squared away. LSU and Arkansas, do they play?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting game. You know, I know a lot of my friends believe Arkansas is going to win that game. That would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? How about Kenny in West Virginia? Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I have a question for you concerning Kyle Trask, actually. I see that Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are favored above him, and I don't quite get that. Fields has 11 touchdowns, and Lawrence has 17 against, I think, suspect competition. And Trask has as many as both of them put together against an all-SEC schedule. Don't you think that should have him favored above him?
Well, Kenny, what I think you have to do, because Fields has only played two games, I think, Lawrence has missed two games. You have to give it a little more time. This is a bizarre season. I think Kyle Trask right now looks like he's the best quarterback and the best player in the country, but I'm willing to wait five more weeks before I send in my vote. And I mean, he would definitely be on my ballot. But I want to make sure I see more of Trevor Lawrence. And I think ultimately, you know, how Trask finishes the season is going to be really important. He's got a big game at Tennessee in December. He'll likely play LSU and then Alabama. And if, you know, I think the Alabama game will be paramount. You have to perform on the biggest stage, and that will be the biggest stage of his career. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And how about Zach in Nashville? Hey, Zach, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
My question is, Alabama right now is probably the number one team in the country, I think. What do you think their biggest weakness can be down the stretch heading towards the playoffs?
Well, I think their defense has been the unknown all year long. I mean, they have one of the best offenses in America. We know that. They have skilled position players all over the board. And they have good players on defense, too. And I will say the defense has looked better. But when is Alabama going to be tested again is my question. And we may not know very much until we get a little deeper into the year, especially against that Florida game. Hey, we're heading for a break now. We'll continue more calls at 855-242-7285. John Calipari, an hour from now. Mike Griffith, the latest on the Dogs, coming up on whether or not this is finally the week for JT Daniel. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. Always the highest rated moment of the week right here on the show, the Mike Griffith session. And Mike, great to have you back on, especially after the last couple of weeks. And we want to start with JT Daniel news. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, you know, JT Daniels has continued to work with the number ones for Georgia. Quarterback change. Some Georgia fans probably tell you a couple weeks too late. I know Jordan Rogers called it out. He said he would have made this change before Florida. But we don't know, Paul. We don't know just how bad JT Daniels' mobility was or how well Stetson Bennett was doing in practice. What we do know is that the Georgia pass game has been lousy the last three games with 8 interceptions and 4 fumbles, 44% completion percentage over the last three games. Time for Kirby Smart to make the move to JT Daniels. This is a celebrated quarterback. He was number 3 in the 2018 signing class, over 12,000 yards passing in high school, a national championship as a junior. He bypassed his entire senior year of high school to become only the second USC quarterback to start as a true freshman. I mean, this guy had 152 touchdown passes and 14 interceptions in high school. That was then. So then he goes to USC, starts as a freshman, kind of an up and down year. Clay Helton was on the rocks, three different offensive coordinator, play callers, porous offensive line, high touchdown interception ratio. But he's the starter in 2019 till he suffers an ACL injury in the USC opener. Now, fast forward to last May, he transfers to Georgia. We're all going, wait a minute. I thought Jamie Newman was here to win this job. Red flag. Obviously, Georgia, Jamie Newman, not on the same page. Enter JT Daniels. We think he's going to be the guy. Fast forward, he hasn't been because of the limited mobility. And now with four games left, it looks like the Georgia offense is going to enter into the 21st century with a good trigger, a guy that I believe is going to throw it around the yard and light up these last. If he doesn't, it's going to be problems for Georgia, Paul. If he's not the future quarterback at Georgia, there's a lot of questions about 2021.
Mike, you mentioned his mobility. What do we know in terms of when he was first able to play this year? Because the speculation has been all over the place.
Yeah. Well, Kirby, and the news has kind of been all over the place. So he wasn't cleared for the opener. He did travel to all the games. He was technically cleared, but cleared and comfortable are two different things, Paul. In the world of Kirby Smart, when you get into this gray area with Kirby, the mobility is improving, and yes, he could play, but they felt better about Stetson and his mobility. There's been a huge smokescreen around this quarterback situation. Is it that Kirby felt that good about Stetson Bennett, the former walk-on, or is it that he was concerned about JT Daniels' mobility and the confidence that he had in that knee? The SEC, we talked about this. This is not a place, for weak heart. You know, quarterback, what you have, four guys that made it through the 2019 campaign healthy, and here we are in 2020 with 10 scheduled games. So you're going to get hit. Have to make sure that JT's knee is right, not just for the mobility, Paul, but it's his plant leg. And if it's not right, then he's not going to get enough steam on those outs, because this is a guy that's going to use the back half of the field. This is a guy who's going to get George Pickens involved. Remember him? The guy that had 12 catches for 175 yards. Yeah, that guy. He's only got 13 catches all year. Hasn't played in the last two games. He'll play in this game. And if Daniels and Pickens can connect, this Georgia offense will transform into a pretty impressive group, I believe.
Let's talk about the remainder of the season for Georgia, because I'm not there every day like you are, but it just seems like from a distance, the air has gone out of that program. What's it like at ground zero?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while, Paul, since they played regular season games that don't have a direct bearing on the SEC championship. You got to go back to 2016, last time Georgia wasn't in the top 10. But, you know, the Gators took care of business on November 7th down there in Jacksonville. And Georgia's been anxious to get back on the field and kind of redeem themselves, win some fans back. Kirby Smart, he's even considering wearing black jerseys. Typically, the black jerseys only come out for recruits to get their picture taken. And Kirby, not a fan of the gimmick jersey. But at the beginning of the year, they said they'd wear these things. And there's only two remaining home games. One of them is against Vanderbilt, who black is part of their color scheme. So do we see black jerseys? Do we see offense? Most importantly, do we see more recruiting momentum? Georgia, with another five-star commit from a linebacker in-state earlier this week, Paul, Georgia now up to number five in recruiting. Bama sitting there number one, LSU number three. You wonder, can LSU hold their recruiting class with all the off-field news about the potential improprieties and how they handled some sexually related incidents off the field? So does LSU hold that number three class? Georgia at number five, Florida at number seven, A&M creeping up 15, and Tennessee 11. Remember, Tennessee was number two back in the spring. They've kind of gotten back to where they usually are, right in that top 10 area. So recruiting momentum with the early signing day, Paul, and these kids can't come on campus and the coaches can't go off campus. So Georgia looking to get more recruiting momentum and close this class strong.
Let me talk to you about the rest of the SEC, because you mentioned Tennessee. That's a program you covered before you came here. And I ask you this because there's a story out today in the Knoxville paper that talked about the buyout and how expensive it would be. And I don't know about you, Mike, but it just seems like a couple of weeks ago, Tennessee was on this big 8-game winning streak, and now with a loss Saturday, They have a 5-game losing streak, and we're almost right back to where we were a couple of years ago when you were there.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's hard to believe they were a top 10 team just, what, I guess 4 years ago under Butch Jones, and here they are now kind of sliding again. I don't anticipate the sort of drop-off you saw with Butch Jones the year he was fired, though. A lot of things went wrong, and the leadership was really poor. The difference between Tennessee now and then is I believe Philip Fulmer is a real stabilizing factor. I saw he recently got a 2-year extension, you know, even with a pay cut. I don't know why people are complaining about this. I know when your football team loses, you want everybody fired. But as you're seeing, sometimes the next hire, you know, isn't really. I think what's happened, Paul, is that Tennessee sees Hugh Freeze out there. And I think there's a fear that, oh, my gosh, South Carolina's going to get him, and he could be the upgrade. He could be the answer. Listen, that's really not the answer. The answer is stability and staying with the program. Now, the question is Jeremy Pruitt that guy? And I think Tennessee fans have to trust Philip Fulmer to make that decision. Again, the administration is a lot more solid. It's been a tough year for Jarrett Garantano. He lost 2 great receivers. He doesn't have a tight end to throw to. I think he's a lot better than I think a lot of Tennessee fans realize. They just want change, though. They're at the point now, as you said, with this losing streak, where they want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Anything could be better than this is the mindset, and that's not necessarily true. I do think you got to take COVID-19 season into consideration. There's been a lot of strange things that have happened. We'll see if Philip Fulmer can keep Tennessee together, maintain that stability, and Tennessee fans hoping that this will be the worst they can put behind them.
I agree with you. I think Philip Fulmer is a smart guy, and he knows that program very well. But Ray Tanner also knew the South Carolina program very well, and it didn't save Will Muschamp this year. So, I mean, is there anything to take away from the Muschamp firing?
Yeah, bigger body of work there for Will Muschamp. You know, Jeremy's only in year 3. Muschamp had been there for a while. You know, also you wonder a little bit about the locker room. And listen, I get it, you know, and I know this is going to upset some people, Paul. I don't like to do that, but I don't like to see kids quitting with games left in the regular season. The bowl game, I think, has become an acceptable deal for kids to sit out if it's not the playoff. It's almost like the coaches have said, okay, you don't want to go to the bowl, that's fine. But when you quit with games remaining, you got to understand, you're quitting on your teammates. There's other seniors in that program that have a legacy, and they want to win. They want to continue. They want to win out. And the relationship between student-athletes and the schools, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of loyalty. Can you imagine if a player got injured and the school said, well, we're taking your scholarship, you're out of here? I mean, that's just not how it works. I think there's kind of an unspoken agreement that the players will finish out the regular season. So seeing South Carolina's cornerbacks quit on their team and quit on their teammates, you know, that's disappointing. And that's something to look for. I saw Mississippi State recently had a player opt out this week saying, hey, look, I'm done. That puts Mississippi State in jeopardy for this weekend, Paul. You know, I've heard reports out of Starkville that there's only 55 scholarship athletes available. They get 1 or 2 COVIDs or 1 or 2 contacts, and the Mississippi State-Georgia game could go up in smoke. So what's to stop all these? Now, at the beginning of the year, I predicted Vanderbilt, you know, but Vanderbilt, those kids have been some soldiers. You know, they went out there and played hard against Kentucky. I didn't expect these kids at South Carolina to quit on their teammates with these games remaining. And again, I know that they're looking out for themselves, but boy, what a lonely world this would be if everybody took that attitude.
And you mentioned, Mike, the LSU situation, and, you know, we both covered difficult stories, and this one has several different layers. I realize neither one of us are on the ground in Baton Rouge, but what does that story look like to you from a little bit of a distance?
Well, you know, it's difficult because there are some privacy laws in effect here, and do you cover the story when someone is accused, or do you wait until they're convicted? And that's always been the difficult role as a reporter. You know, does a police report constitute a story, or does someone have to be convicted? And, you know, you walk that fine line. What you look for and when there's concerns is when there's a pattern. When you see multiple cases of this, multiple complaints, multiple times that victims are coming forward from different walks, different areas saying, yeah, I talked too, and I talked, and I was ignored. You know, and you hate to reference Michigan State, but that's kind of what happened there when an athletic department isn't sensitive to these complaints. And we're in an era right now where you have to be very careful. I think there's very strict legislation with Title IX. It's possible to be guilty of a Title IX infraction, but not have broken the law. You're right. We're digging deep here. But the bottom line is it's a pretty stinky mess for LSU right now. And with and you hate to say this, the program's also not winning. And when you're not winning, these things don't go away as easily. It's unfortunate, but this seems like when the programs are winning, it's a lot easier for people to look the other way. History will tell you that. Look back at Florida not too long ago. Some of the things that happened there with Urban Meyer. People will convenient. So we wonder, is this the beginning? I can't believe I'm saying it. Is this the beginning of the end for Ed Orgeron if this off-field issue mushrooms and he can't get his program turned around?
Well, Mike, we always get to this moment in the Mike Griffith conversation.
It happened at Baylor. You know, Art Briles had done a lot of great things there. I'm just saying, if it mushrooms, we're playing the what if game. I'm just merely saying, if there is an issue with how LSU did not deal with these things.
That's a mighty big what if game, isn't it? I mean, the guy just won the national championship.
We're not saying this year.
11 months ago.
This year, it really is. But, you know, welcome to 2020, the era of the now generation. If there are serious off-field issues, you know, LSU's in the spotlight right now, is a defending national champion. If there are serious off-field issues, and I'm not talking about Odell Beckham handing out money after the game. I'm talking about some issues of how they handle these very sensitive. If there was, in fact, a scholarship tennis player there who was being abused by a football player and the university had knowledge of this and didn't do anything about it or didn't handle it properly, that is a major issue. And if you find out that this was systemic and it happened before, so a lot of what ifs here, Paul. You asked me to go down the what if road. All I'm telling you is we're in a society that's not going to tolerate it. I don't know why that's hard to believe, but that's what I'm telling you. We're in a society right now that if you mistreat people and commit these issues off the field and don't handle them properly, we're in a society where that's not going to be tolerated. That's all I'm saying here as you took me down the what if road.
Well, no, I did ask you, but in continuing that what if game, how does that get to Ed Orgeron, who during that season, you know, took over from an assistant coach to the interim coach? You're saying if it happened on his watch or if he had some knowledge of it?
Yeah, if he handled it improperly, and you have to look, this again, this could be much deeper than Ed Orgeron, but you've also got issues on the field. I mean, this has been a very disappointing. This has been a historic drop off for a defending national champion. I think it's been since like 1994, where the national champion wasn't in the top 25 or something like that after the first or second. Some ridiculous fall off that we've seen at LSU. All I'm saying is this is something to keep an eye on and monitor. How does LSU follow? You can bet. I'll tell you this. You can bet that Greg Sankey in the SEC office is monitoring this very closely. They got one eye on what's going on at LSU and one eye on who might be interviewing Hugh Freeze. And how does the rest of the league feel about that? You know,
Mike, I want to just hold the camera there for a second because I can't let you go without finishing your thought on Hugh Freeze. His name has come up for South Carolina. Nobody thinks that will be the end-all job, but they are looking ahead maybe to next year for some other SEC openings. Do you think Hugh Freeze is hireable in the SEC?
That's up to the SEC athletic directors. You know, everybody says Greg Sankey has a problem with. Listen, you don't understand. Greg Sankey works for the SEC. He works for those league presidents and those athletic directors, and he represents the direction of the league. Now, he's clearly provides a lot of judgment. We saw what an incredible job he did bringing the SEC through COVID-19 in terms of keeping everyone informed and keeping the league on track, scheduling properly, collecting information. I would suggest to you that Greg Sankey will collect all the information on Hugh Freeze and talk with those athletic directors and those league presidents and get a feel, read the room. How does the SEC feel about Hugh Freeze coming back in after what happened at Ole Miss? And I would just leave you with this, right? Lane Kiffin got back in. And so to me, there's a precedent for second chances. And I do think that Hugh Freeze will be back in the league, particularly if Jimmy Sexton is his agent. Because Jimmy Sexton, Paul, make no mistake about it, is the most powerful man in college football. And if you're represented by Jimmy Sexton, that's a really good place to start. And I believe that Hugh Freeze, teamed with Jimmy Sexton, will be back in the SEC next season.
Mike, many thanks. Always good to have you on. And he is represented by Jimmy Sexton. We will talk to you next week. Before we go to the break, remember last summer when the Big Ten announced that they were not going to play and people were speculating, would Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, have to go to Starkville to watch his son play since he had no football? We know the Big Ten is back. However, Powers Warren, the son of Kevin Warren, according to Brett McMurphy, Mississippi State wide receiver, has entered the transfer portal. There you go. We will take a break. More to come. Your reaction to what Mike had to say and much else after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, and hey, Kyle is up next. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
First-time caller, long-time listener. What do you think about Gene Chizik going to South Carolina?
I think he would be good. The only question I have, and I don't know the answer, is whether he would want to get back into coaching. That he's been out since 20...
I got a little listener in the back seat, too, wants to say hey to you.
Okay, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. What's your name?
Tilly.
Caden.
Hey, Katie.
All right.
I appreciate you listening.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for letting us call.
Thank you very much. You be well. Great to hear from you and Caitlin. David is up next in Florida. Hey, David, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach Feinbaum. Always a pleasure and a privilege.
Thank you.
I've known Pat Dooley for every bit of his career at the Gainesville Sun. I was at the Tampa Tribune when he started there, and we were heavy on the Gators, and I spent a lot of time in Gainesville covering football, et cetera, and had some beverages with Pat and others on the Gator beat. I thought he was a bit rough around the edges, but he sure cleaned up nicely and has had a terrific career as a chronicler of things Gator, and I wish him the best.
Yeah, David, I think you and I maybe are in unique positions having done what we have done. It's always sad for me to hear someone walk away from that because even though I'm realistic and you and I both know how depressed the industry is right now. I mean, they're really outside of a handful of newspapers. I mean, the newspaper industry is really a facade. There's not really a newspaper industry. It's an era that has been ending for a long time, but I was really choked up when I heard he was walking away.
I'm still a fan of newspapers and good sports writing, and I've kept up with Pat and some others who still do it. I was in the early wave of the demise of newspapers, certainly the print part of it. This is the late 1990s, and I became a high school math teacher for the last part of my working career, but you know, it was, we all move on. Nobody's indispensable, and I got to have a nice.
Hey, I have to ask you about that because I've always wanted to teach. Tell me about teaching in the high schools. I'm really curious, considering what you've done. How was that? How has that gone?
It went rough because I was inexperienced at it, and having grown up in a different era, the kids were different, et cetera. I had a lot of adjustment to do, but I got to walk to work. And I liked the subject, and after a while, I found a niche, and I never worked that hard as a sports writer, that's for sure. But certainly this was ended up being,
you know, I've always been looking for my next career, David. I think I'm going to become a high school history teacher. I think that's, I'm just going to walk away tomorrow and start teaching American history, one of my favorite subjects.
Paul, why are Georgia fans still so bitter? I can't
I don't know.
Understand that.
Maybe it just comes naturally.
Steven, he's got some problems with the quality of the Gator team. I don't understand that. But
well, come on, David. You covered enough SEC football. It's been, what, 40 years since Run Lindsey Run, and they're ready for a new headline.
I guess one of these days they'll get there again, maybe sometime in the next 40. Who knows?
I hope so, because I remember the last one. My career was beginning, and I'd like to see them win again before I meet the other side. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. More to come. More of your phone calls. You got it, David. At 855-242-7285. Don't forget, John Calipari will be with us at the top of the next hour. No matter how many times you interview Cal, it is always worth it. Can't wait to talk to him in just a few minutes. We're coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Great to have you here. And Stetson, not that Stetson, but this Stetson, is on the phone. Hey, Stetson, go right ahead. Stetson, you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, Paul. I just was watching that segment you had with Mike, and I love Mike. He's great.
He is.
His passion is unsurpassed. But when he starts talking about, you know, Georgia's comeback, and then throws in that he's going to do that against Mississippi State, I mean, damn, our local high school could do that.
Yeah. I'm not sure you can base your self-worth on Mississippi State right now. It's a really good point. They are a program spiraling out of control.
But, you know, I mean, the rest of his comments around the league are right on, and I think he actually has something going on at the LSU program that is a little bit scary. I hate to see that because LSU has, you know, just such a storied program. I'm hoping that that's not going to happen.
Well, I will say one of his points, I mean, they have had a lot of bad news since they won the national championship. You know, remember, there's some NCAA issues down there in football, basketball, we know about. This story, to me, is hard to explain in terms of where it goes from here. I mean, I agree with Mike. The optics of this LSU story are terrible. But I think you better be careful before you start taking out a gun and knocking people off because of what the allegations are. They need to be, they should have been investigated, and it's unconscionable and maybe criminal, very likely criminal. But you can't, but you have to find out. Yeah, you have to find out the chain of command, and just to blame Ed Ogeron. Yeah, he was there. He was the head coach, but we don't know. And sometimes head coaches do go down because of things that happen. But you need to have some evidence, too. How about Augie? Augie is in New Orleans. Your program's having a rough time lately, Augie.
The program's having as rough a time as your audio is, Paul. It's very hard to hear you on the phone. But nonetheless, when did we ever need evidence to convict somebody?
Well, I've always thought it was a good idea, but apparently not.
This is 2020. We don't need evidence for anything.
Well, no, you're right.
Claim whatever, and it's fact.
Yeah, there are a lot of things going on in this country right now that just throw it up against the wall and see if it sticks.
I won't call you Rudy, but, you know, Paul, you were, at the beginning of the year, you were certain that this year nothing's going to happen to anybody because it's an anomaly.
Right.
And nobody's going to get fired. Well, first goes bus jump. Now you were even talking about Tennessee and making a change where you were definitely...
No, well, let me
totally
make it very clear, Augie. I am not suggesting a change this year. All I'm saying is if this season completely tanks out, then the coach there will be firmly on the hot seat going into next year.
So you don't consider at this point the season has been tanked out for Pruitt?
Well, yeah, it has, but I don't think considering a change in Tennessee is in the cards. There's a difference between Tennessee in Jeremy Pruitt's third year and Will Muschamp in his fifth year. And remember, Muschamp had already, his program was 4-8 last year, and it fell apart this year. That's a pretty strong indication. I don't think what's happening with Pruitt is not easy to explain, but it's more explainable than what happened to Muschamp and significantly less time.
Well, I for one am very sorry that South Carolina fired Muschamp. I wish they would have kept the guy forever. But I will tell you this. I would hire him today to be our defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, that's not hard to gauge.
That Bo Pelini guy. But what also surprised me yesterday, Paul, I think it was yesterday, because I'm working, so I have to listen to the podcast and keep track. It's very hard to have a steady job and keep up with your show, but I'm trying. Yesterday, you were talking badly about poor Derek Mason and Vandy. And you had been reluctant to be critical before, but it seemed like yesterday it was just coming out. Even Vandy is becoming irritated with being a laughingstock. So,
well, Augie, when all we can say is, hey, Vanderbilt made it close, I mean, it's like Back to the Future. And, yeah, I mean, they have played a couple of really good games. Good. They're still 0 for the year.
Yeah, well, hey, Mike Griffiths, good interview. Was he in the 82nd Airborne? He had a little lapel pin.
I'll find out. Mike was definitely in the military. I do know that.
Okay, well, hey, I did not know that. And if he was an All-American, I am totally impressed with
that. I think
that.
Mike was but, in the 80, what was it? I think he was in the 82nd. I believe he's been in the CIA, the KGB, and the Mossad.
KGB, Kasudarsveni Bezopasno. Kasudarsveni, I forgot how to say it in Russian. Anyway, very impressive.
We're out of time. And, 2 more hours to go, and John Calipari.